right, church? Let's worship God. Come on.
Come on, you weary. Come on, you thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water. Come and thirst no more. Come on, you sinners. Come find his mercy. Come to the table. He will satisfy. Face of his goodness. Find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Bring all your faith. Come on.
Are dead now.
This is our God.
is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. So weak that we could barely pray, but he heard every word, every whisper. Nobody but Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit. He did, who paid for all of our sin. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh.
Son to die on the cross for you. You are going to hear more about that today. Welcome to Prestonwood. We're so glad you're here. Before we do anything else, find someone you have not said good morning to yet. Say hello to them.
Well, amen and amen. Please have a seat. My name is Mike Buster, Executive Pastor here at Prestonwood. It's my privilege to bring a word of welcome to each of you this morning, whether you're watching online and have joined us there or here in this room. We are so glad you've chosen to be a part of this service. And if you're a guest with us, we're especially glad and want to connect with you this morning. Whether you're online or here, you can take out your cell phone. Text the word CONNECT to 7-4-7-8-8. There you go. You ought to have that memorized by now. 7-4-7-8-8. And this will give us the opportunity to get to know you better in the days ahead. So we'll leave that up there for just a second to encourage you to connect with us. Now, if you're here after this service, you can meet us in the atrium at Guest Central. Well, we have some gifts and things we want to put in your hands, and we're just thrilled that you're here, and we want to get to know you better in the days ahead. This is a special week in the life of our church, in that all this week we've been celebrating our pastor's 34th anniversary here at Prestonwood. And we just have been reflecting on all that God has done in these 34 years. You know, we have over 200 different ministries and mission endeavors, but I wanted to just reflect for a moment on a few of those that have been some pretty monumental things that He has led us in. For instance, our Prestonwood Pregnancy Center in 1991, because of our pastor's heart to save the unborn, we began the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. This year, we're going to surpass 100,000 lives, babies' lives being saved. And then, of course, PowerPoint Ministries in 1994, because of our pastor's passion to reach the world, we began PowerPoint Ministries. That says 20-plus downloads in Bible in the year. I just learned that it is now 22 million downloads for Bible in a year. And then Prestonwood Christian Academy in 1997, because of our pastor's heart for kingdom education, we established PCA, and it's now the fastest growing Christian school in America with over 2,300 enrolled. Prestonwood Sports Outreach, now we have over 7,000 participants each year with 260 decisions for Christ this past year, and that was out of our pastor's commitment to reach our community for Christ. And then the Prestonwood North Campus. In 2008, our pastor saw the need to establish a second location. That location now is one of the fastest growing campuses, church campuses in America, with membership of over 7,000. And then Prestonwood in Espanol, because of the growing number of Spanish-speaking people in North Texas, God led our pastor to establish Prestonwood in Espanol, and now has a current membership. They meet right here every Sunday at 2 o'clock, and now they have more than 3,000 members, Prestonwood in Espanol. Of course, our Prestonwood Network, which is near and dear to his heart, in 2011, because of our pastor's love for the church and the advancement of the kingdom, the Prestonwood Network was established. And then Prestonwood.live, our online campus, because of our pastor's commitment to the Great Commission, he led us to start our online campus. Life Recovery, because of our pastor's heart for the people, for people in the midst of pain and suffering, he led us to start the Life Recovery Ministry that now we've ministered to over 2,700 families that have received help to walk the life that Christ intended for them to walk. Amen. And again, this is just a few of those, but I'm reminded of Psalms 126:3, where it says, "The Lord has done great things, and we are filled with His joy." And so right now, I want you to help me in saying congratulations to our pastor, to Deb Graham, and the entire Graham team.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Please take a seat. Thank you so very much. And we honor the Lord today for all that He has done. And we're so grateful that God led us in 1989 to leave West Palm Beach, Florida, where we were having a great life. Enjoying our church there, and to come to Dallas and North Texas, which was home for us. Deb grew up in Mineral Wells, Texas. I grew up after birth in Arkansas. I got to Texas as soon as my parents would bring me. When I was age 10, we got to Fort Worth, where I grew up in Cowtown. I was raised to love God and hate Dallas as a Fort Worthian. And then God pulled a trick on me and moved me to Dallas, and but I pulled a trick on that too. We got the church out of Dallas and moved it to Plano. So, and prosper. But no, we love Dallas and Fort Worth and just North Texas, and such a great, great place, and such a great people, the people of Prestonwood. And no pastor has had it better than we have had it with you. And we've seen God do things, just the salvations and the lives transformed and so many ministries. And of course, you know, I don't take credit for these thousands of volunteers. God gives us ideas. He gives good ideas, and then he gives God ideas. And he has given us some great ideas and God ideas that we have pursued. And you have always been so willing to follow under the will of God, the leadership of your pastor. And I'm so grateful for the preaching and teaching ministry opportunities that I have been given here, and for the great worship team that is with us. That's another big part of who we are, is our worship experience each week, from children's ministry, children and students, and all the things that we're doing. Prestonwood Cares. I care a lot about our Prestonwood Cares ministry. It's reaching the local poor and impoverished, showing the care and the love of our church for people in need. And so we just are leading as God leads us. And thank you for your prayers. Just a little update on the personal side, on our family. I think we may have the latest and greatest photo of Team Graham. That's from this Christmas. And so we have three children and three in-loves who have married our children. On the far left there, you see Jason and Kelly Flores and their three children. That's Jake and Zach and Lauren right next to Deb. And those boys are now 8. They're twins, and Lauren is 7. And what a great family. Then Jason, the bearded one there, that's Ian, who is just graduated from Prestonwood Christian Academy. Is that not a good-looking guy or not? And he's going to Texas A&M to study engineering. We're proud of Ian. Right to his left is his little brother Levi, and that's Toby. And then there's the Josh family, the Joshes, with Dylan, who's 11, and Piper, who's about to be 9, and that's Carter, who's about to be 6. So Deb and I are so grateful for our family. They're all right here. They're all serving the Lord, serving the church in various ways, volunteering and otherwise. So that's Josh and Katie and Toby and Jason and Jason and Kelly Flores. So couldn't do it without Deb Graham. Just the partnership and the, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about women in ministry, and Deb has served the Lord without needing a platform, without needing anyone to applaud her or cheer her. She just works and serves the Lord. She's done most everything. In our 53 years of marriage, we met at college, Hardin-Simmons University, and in those 53 years, she's done everything from the nursery to playing the piano to singing solos to sweeping the floors and cleaning toilets and working with people, teaching the Bible. She's a great Bible teacher. So many things I could say about Deb, but she's a great person, and she loves the Lord, and she loves her family, and we are very, very blessed to be loved by you. And I want you to know that we love you very, very much. So thank you. And so I just say hats off to the past and coats off to the future. Let's go. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Of the things that you saw of the ministries there, I just mentioned one on a personal level last week. I wasn't here, and Jeremiah Johnston did a great job preaching. I watched it, and Scott Turner at the 11 o'clock. We've got such a great preaching team, our staff. How could I not mention our incredible staff, the present staff, which is the greatest, and all those who have served with us through the years here at Prestonwood. Jeremiah Johnston, just 1 year, but Sandra Saunders, like, 100 years. She predated me. No, actually about 40 here at Prestonwood. And so all the wonderful staff. Mike, thank you for being by my side as our executive pastor. But the Prestonwood Network. Last Sunday I was out because I was in Albany, New York, preaching for one of our church planters that we have supported as a church. His name is Roscoe Lilly. His wife's name is Mariana. They started 20 years ago, fresh out of seminary, 21 or 2 years old. They planned, they plotted, they went to Albany, which is totally secular in terms of just lifestyle and liberal politics. It's not the Bible Belt, I assure you. They go to Albany, and they work and they pray to get ready to start a church. And when they started, they had their startup day. They had nobody come for 6 weeks. And you know what they did? They started serving their community. They just said, we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So they started pumping gas and scrubbing floors and painting houses and pumping gas and serving like that. And when I preached for them this weekend, there were 1,000 people there. It's the largest church. Southern Baptist Church is the largest Southern Baptist church in all of the state of New York. And today's going to be, I'm just preaching twice today. I preached 5 times up there last weekend, including to a group of pastors that came from all over New York and Pennsylvania, and to a men's conference where they had 1,000 men on Saturday night. And so there you go. It's just, and we've got a lot of that going on. So when we preach here and teach here and serve here, the online campus, but all of these church plants that you are supporting directly through the ministry of the Prestonwood Network. So in our giving and our going, and many of you have been to some of these sites and places, and they're international as well. We have international church plants. So we are ascending church. Sending. We're ascending, yes, but we are ascending church, and we're raising up a new generation of pastors and church leaders, and so we're grateful for this. All right. There's a song that's out that I'm obsessed with. This song, you know how I get obsessed with certain songs? And it's all about Lazarus, and I'm preaching on Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus in just a few minutes, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper together at the close of the message, and that's today. But this song is all about Lazarus and what happened and what can happen to you when you hear the voice and the commanding call of Jesus Christ to rise up. Here we go. Rise up, Lazarus.
In the dark and all alone, growing comfortable, are you too scared to move and walk out of this tomb? Buried underneath the lies that you believe, safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found. You're just asleep and it's time to leave. Come on and rise. Take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Your brand new power of death could hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? Your name, the thing that filled your veins, was more than blood, it's the kind of love that washes sin away. Now the door is open wide, and the stone's been rolled aside. The old is gone, the light has come, so come on and rise up. Take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like your brand new power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus?
Like Lazarus.
Whoa.
Out from the grave like Lazarus.
He's calling us to walk out of the dark.
Come on.
He's given us new resurrected hearts. Oh,
he's calling us to walk out of the dark.
Hey.
He's given us new resurrected hearts.
That's the title of the message today. Rise up, take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, John chapter 11. Life and death. And what happens after we die? It's in the news, you know. In fact, it's always in the news. Did you know that 156,000 people die every day across the globe? 156,000 per day. I ask Alexa, how many is that a minute? And according to her, that's 108 every minute who step into eternity across the world. And so in the last minute, which I've been standing up here, 108 people are on the other side. Over 3,000, think about it, I could go on, since we started this service about 30 minutes ago. One after another, heartbeat after heartbeat stopped, and then what's next? Howard Stern asked Arnold Schwarzenegger a couple of weeks ago in an interview, 75-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger, actor, champion bodybuilder before that, governor of the state of California, public figure, asked, what happens when you die? And he said, Schwarzenegger said, nothing. Nothing. You're 6 feet under. He went on to say, anyone who tells you anything different is an expletive liar. Sadly, he said, we will never see each other on the other side after we're gone. We're just gone. And then he related, that's the sad part. We'll never see our family or friends again on the other side. So to the Terminator, you're terminated. It's hasta la vista, baby. When you're done, you're dead, and you're dead forever. Well, I care about Arnold. I do, and I pray for him. But really, I don't care about what he said. And the only reason I bring that up, what he is saying about life after death, is that many hold this view. Many would say, when you die like an animal, and it's over, completely over. You are a physical being, and when your body dies, when your brain dies, when your heart stops beating, that's it, and you will soon be forgotten. It's the reason that people are sad, and it's also the reason that people are afraid to die. It was Woody Allen, another great philosopher, who said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Well, you're going to be there when it happens, and it is going to happen. In time, we all pass away. Life has a shelf life. You have a shelf life, and the clock is ticking. If you ask me about these 34 years at Prestonwood, I would tell you it's a blur in many ways. It's brief, it's a blur, isn't it? Another great philosopher said, life is like the toilet paper in your bathroom. The closer you get to the end of the roll, the faster it goes. And it moves quickly. Billy Graham was once asked, what is the biggest surprise of your life? And he said, the brevity of it. The brevity of it. Life is short and death is sure. And the Bible speaks of death and dying and life, of course, in many ways. The Bible says, in fact, that we are given 70 and perhaps another 10, 70 or 80 years on this life. Did you know the average lifespan for a man is 76 years? For a woman, it's 81 years. We can all try to figure out why that is. But 76, 81, 75, 80, that's the typical lifespan. And I'm being told now that due to illness of various kinds, the lifespan is decreasing for both men and women. Death is a common enemy. And if you have no God, you have really no hope. A well-known agnostic by the name of Adolf Huxley, you know what an agnostic is? An agnostic says, I don't know. Gnostic means to know, agnostic or agnostic. It means I don't know. The Latin equivalent of that is ignoramus, but we'll leave it at that. Agnostic means I don't know. And so here's a man who made a case for agnosticism, but then when it came to death, he said that death is the final and ultimate despair. The final and ultimate despair. But we, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we have a different perspective, a divine perspective on life and death, because our future, we believe, is filled with hope and heaven. Schwarzenegger said, anything about heaven is a fantasy. To us, heaven is not a fantasy. It is our future. And it's all because Jesus said in chapter 11 of the book of John, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. He did not say, I am the giver of life, though he is. He's the creator of life. He did not say, I will give you life. He does. But he said, I am life. I am the resurrection and the life. And so chapter 11 of the Gospel of John is a long passage about death and dying. It's the most detailed of all the stories of the miracles of Jesus that we're looking at over these past several weeks in our series, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. It is the seventh of seven signs that John gave us in his gospel, and each one of these signs has a point. And the point is that Jesus Christ is God. In fact, in John's gospel, chapter 20, verse 31 at the end, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So it's about Jesus and who he is, that he is the incarnate God. The seven signs that we've covered over the past 7 weeks or so all point to Jesus as the answer to life's essential and ultimate questions. For those who are blind, blinded by their sin and their suffering, he healed the blind man because he said, I am the light of the world. And so he healed a blind man to prove it. He said, I am the bread of heaven. In just a few moments at the Lord's Supper, we're going to be breaking the bread together. And he said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of heaven. And then he fed thousands of people, multiplying the loaves and the fishes to prove it. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so what did he do? He raised the dead to prove it. And in this case, a man by the name of Lazarus, one of his good friends, along with Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. They lived in a little village known as Bethany. It's still there today. You can see it and be present there. But Jesus often was hosted in this home, and he loved this family. And so the word comes, as Jeremiah Johnston shared with us last week in the message, that Lazarus is sick, that he's even dying, and yes, Lazarus dies. And in the confrontation with death, Jesus gives us hope as we rise up. So we're going to read the scripture in John chapter 11. Let's start in verse 38. As I said, this is the longest narrative of a miracle in all of the Bible. And in every verse there is a sermon. But Jesus, again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. He was not only dead, he was decomposing. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Mark that verse, circle it. "Did I not say to you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen these things Jesus did believed in him. Let's talk about the fact that Jesus considers death. Jesus' consideration of death. This man Lazarus, he died and Jesus had delayed. Purposely, our Lord did not go immediately to heal Lazarus from his sickness because there was a greater miracle yet to come. And so in the delay, his pal Lazarus dies. Of course, this doesn't catch Jesus by surprise because he knows all things. And in his own timing, he shows up at the funeral of Lazarus 4 days after the man's death. Of course, they didn't embalm in the Jewish way of burial in those days. And so he is in a cave, in a tomb with a stone rolled over, wrapped in grave clothes, dead and decaying. Jesus shows up. And Martha rushes to him outside of the village and says, "Lord, if you only had been here. Lord, if only you had been here. Jesus, if you had come earlier, my brother would not have died. Lord, if only." It's a question sometimes even Christians ask, of course. We wonder at times, "God, where are you? Why weren't you here when I needed you the most? When I was sick or my family was sick, when there was cancer, when there was death, when I buried my loved one and with my loved one half my heart. God, where are you? Where were you, Jesus?" Martha is honest. And of course, our God is clearly able to answer our questions. And when we bring him our doubts and our darkness, know that he can handle them. I always say it's good to ask God questions. It's not good to question God, his goodness, his faithfulness, his mercy. But it's good to ask questions because in the darkness, even in death, we often grow deeper in our faith. We learn more often in times when the lights are turned out than when they're right on. But the big question that she represents for all of us is this question in the face of death, Jesus considering death, is, does Jesus care? Does God care? And the answer, of course, proven by his faithfulness and love throughout our lives, is yes, he cares. There was a great old gospel song written about this years ago. I've never forgotten it. "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief and though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? And then the refrain, the answer. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And if you've been there and done that, and experienced his grace and goodness in times of grief, you know that he cares. He identifies with our pain. He shows up at the funeral. And what does the shortest verse in the Bible tell us in John chapter 11, verse 35? The shortest verse, but perhaps the sweetest verse in all of the Bible. Jesus wept. And when it says he wept there, it's a word which means he wept profusely. He is sobbing. He comes to the graveside, and the scripture says he is groaning. And it's a word which it means almost, it's a word that is sometimes translated snorting. Have you just ever had one of those ugly cries? It's an ugly cry. He's weeping. And the people around said, look at Jesus. Look how he loved this man, Lazarus. He weeps, and he weeps with us. We all weep when someone dies. It's tragedy. Death's an enemy. This is why we have an essential ministry of Prestonwood, which is our caring ministry to people who have suffered loss and grief, and whether it's funerals or hospital visits or visiting those who are in caring facilities. Please pray for our pastoral team that goes and shows care. And really, that's all of us who serve, and not only the pastors, but our life group leaders and life groups. It's one of the reasons we have a life group ministry, so that we can minister love and hope and grace when people are suffering in their lives, and pray for people. And so the Prestonwood ministry of comfort is so important. And the volunteers, we have a great group of people who volunteers at the memorial services and the funeral services. Why? Because we want to do what Jesus did, and that is show up when people need us. And Jesus shows up because he cares. He is a sympathetic Savior. He is the one we need more than anything in times like these. And so that brings me to the second part, and that is Jesus confronts death. He considers death, and then Jesus confronts death. So he says, take away the stone. Now that's a big, bold move. Martha herself is skeptical and says, Jesus, don't do that. He's stinking. He's smelling. His death is horrible. Don't go look at him like this, Jesus. Jesus said, roll away the stone. And then he says, Lazarus, are you ready to rise up? And Jesus spoke, it says, in a loud voice. In fact, the verse says in verse 43, that he cried out with a loud voice. He loudly cried with a loud voice. Can you imagine the compelling, commanding voice of Jesus in this moment? Jesus had a powerful voice, and I would add, no doubt, he had a beautiful voice. Just think about the voice of Jesus. One day we will hear it. But the voice of Jesus, he could speak to thousands of people on hillsides. And they could hear him. And his voice was so compelling to people that when he said, come and follow me, grown men would drop their careers and professions, their nets, and just follow him. So with that voice, the same voice that spoke and said, let there be light, he speaks. It says, Lazarus, not all the rest of you. He calls him by name. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, rise up. Lazarus, get up and get out of that grave. Get out of there. You know, we look at life, our earthly life, as the land of the living, that we're going to the land of the dying. But the opposite is true. We're not in the land of the living on our way to the land of the dying. We're living in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. And so Lazarus, he's already in the land of the living. Can you imagine? He hears his name. He's already on the streets of gold getting used to things. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the scripture says. And now he hears the voice of God. Jesus says to him, come out, come back, rise up. Jesus shouts it. And the man comes out. He conquers death. Jesus does. He confronts it and then he conquers it. In the conversation about it in verse 40, you can look at verse 40. Martha is skeptical when he calls for the stone to be rolled away. She's skeptical. She believes that Jesus is the one he claimed to be the resurrection, but she's thinking future resurrection. I mean, it was a big jump from the future resurrection to right then, there, and now. She wasn't expecting this kind of miracle. Who could have expected this? Well, Jesus had raised a couple of people from the dead, but she didn't expect it. She's looking and thinking about the corpse instead of looking at Christ. We need to get our eyes off the corpse and on to Christ. And he said, don't you know that if you believe this, you will see the glory of God? What is the glory of God? It is his manifest presence and power, his miraculous power. The glory of God is about to be on display. It's about to be demonstrated. In the story of Jesus, it's all about his glory, his glory, his glory, his glory, his glory, and then his grace. We have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He said, Martha, you're about to see the power and the presence of God. And when you believe, you not only see his glory, but you share in his glory. Not only those who stood there that day, but I can say in the providences of God in your life and my life. In my life, I have seen miracle after miracle. I've never seen a resurrection like this, but I have seen resurrected hearts. I have seen lives change, my own life included. I've seen the plans and providences of God, not coincidences, but providences. I've seen God order my steps, every step of the way, in the contingencies and the emergencies of life. We have seen God's hand moving in our life. And when you believe this, you see the glory of God. We've seen the glory of God at Prestonwood, haven't we? It's all about the glory, glory, glory. It's all about the glorious God. And when you believe, you will see things happen in your life that cannot be explained by human explanation. Believe and you will see God working in your life. Believe and you will see the presence and power of God in your life. The world says seeing is believing. God says believing is seeing. He said, look, watch it. And so Jesus considers death, he confronts death, and he conquers death because the man came out. Has to be one of the great understatements in all of the Bible. Because it just, there's no fanfare here, there's no trumpets, there's no angels. There are no angels. Just it says the man came out. And there he is, still in his grave clothes. like a mummy in some ways. Jesus prays so that everyone would know that he and the Father are one in this. And he cries out with this loud voice. And the man rises up in resurrection power. Full resurrection power is on display. So glad to see our dear friend Josh McDowell here today. Josh, welcome back to Preston Wood, your home church, for a number of years. Josh wrote one of the most important books in Christian history, and I don't say that with exaggeration. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. If you haven't read it, get it, read it, pass it to your friends, and many other books about the evidences for the resurrection and the reality of Christ and who he is. And so Jesus, because he is resurrection, he is life, he can raise the dead. Only Jesus can raise the dead. You imagine what happened in that tomb as life begins to surge through the dead and decomposing body of this man, new corpuscles, new cells, fresh blood in his veins, surging in the tomb, and the dead man came out, still dressed in grave clothes. The grave is defeated. The grave is defeated. Paul exclaimed, "O grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Death is swallowed up in victory. Rise up, because Jesus conquers sin, death, and hell, and the grave." And then notice in closing what Jesus did. He asked for volunteers. We're always asking for volunteers here at Prestonwood because we need you. And thank you all, the Vacation Bible School Adventure Week volunteers. We saw 400 professions of faith by boys and girls and 3,000 or 4,000 kids here. And you did it in the work of Christ. But here's what a volunteer does. So Jesus said, "Unwrap him, unloose him, and let him go." He had already said to some others, "Roll away the stone." And now he says, "Unwrap him, unloose him, untangle him, and let him go." And to me, there's a beautiful analogy here, because here's a man in his grave clothes, and now he needs to put on the grace clothes of new life. And so God does what only God can do. He raises the man from the dead, but then he asks others to go and roll away the stone. What is the ministry of the church? In one sense, we're to roll away the stones, the obstacles that so often keep people from new life in Christ, and there are a lot of them. And we need to be doing everything that we can to roll away the stones and let people in to see the light and experience the light. And then he said, "Unwrap him and let him go." And this is the ministry of the church. Now watch this. Don't lose this. This is the ministry of Prestonwood and every church that is a body of Christ. And that is to help people take off those grave clothes of the past and put on the grace clothes of Jesus Christ, of loosing people and letting them go. This is why we have Life Recovery Ministry, so that you can be saved and break the chains of sin and death upon your life. So all these ministries are to help people get out of the grave, to get out of the darkness of the tomb, and to live in the victory of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me." And the scripture says there's so much more I could say. But it says in that last verse, 45, I believe, "And many believed in Jesus from that moment." Who wouldn't, who saw this? So I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. And before we serve the Lord's Supper and take communion, before we come to the table, I want to make sure you're in the family, because this is a family table. It's for the brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm going to wait till everybody stops moving, because this is the most tender moment of the service. With every head bowed and every eye closed, do you believe? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, asking him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life, to make you alive. Because without Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Jesus took death himself. Jesus conquered death ultimately when he died on the cross, was in the tomb, and on the third day, he came out. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, which means your sins are forgiven, all of them, which means Jesus, the living Lord, comes into your life. He gives you life. You're alive for the first time, fully alive. You're no longer walking in darkness and death, but you are alive in Christ, and now you have the promise of eternal life that begins now and never ends. Eternal life is forever. So watching online, or those of you right here in this room, invite Jesus to come into your life. Pray, Lord Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. I turn from my sin. I trust in you and you only, because I believe that you are Lord and Savior. Be my Savior. May I follow you as my Lord. I follow you as my Lord. Ask Christ to come into your life. And before you take this cup and eat this bread, settle this question in your own mind, in your own heart. And you can be alive. You can rise up, because he's calling your name today. He's calling your name. Get up and get out of the cave. Get up and get out of death. And hear the call of Christ. Lord, we thank you. For many right now who are watching, worshiping with us online, and right here in this room who are responding to the resurrection and the life, Jesus, help them to know that what they're doing here is for real and forever. Trusting you, believing and receiving you as Lord and Savior. And as we eat this bread and drink this cup, may we do so with the gratitude of our hearts that we are alive now and forever with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.